Local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Phil Nee, and today it's our day to talk about GRACE, as we do each month, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. But it's a really special show today, as we'll be spotlighting our ambassadors. Later on, we'll have an update on the upcoming walk and also the Survivors and Captain's Night, which is coming up not too far down the road. Joining us live in the studio, though, first of all, is Tara Weitzel, who is one of the ambassadors. Good morning, Tara. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful today. Gotta be. Beautiful weather and a summer day, and it's Friday, too.
That is, and it's gorgeous right now.
Well, give us a little bit about your story and your background and your family, Tara.
So I am from Richland Center. I have lived here my whole life. I am married. I have 7 children, ranging from 23 to 13. My husband is local as well, so we have been around for quite a while.
Indeed. That's a nice family that you have there. It must get kind of noisy at your house once in a while.
You know what? It is very loud, and it's usually not clean. You know, like we have dishes and laundry. We have teenagers. Right now, 5 at our house, so we're very busy.
Yeah, I guess you are. So tell us a little bit about your cancer journey. When did it begin?
It was actually September of 2019. And for me, it was relatively fast. I was in for some regular doctor's appointments, and I happened to mention that I had what I thought was a persistent canker sore on my tongue. And my doctor was like, well, that's odd. You know, like, let's just kind of see what happened. And it got progressively larger, and it was a physician here in town, and she finally just kind of looked at me and she goes, I think that this is something serious. And she goes, you need to be checked out immediately. And she was able to put in a referral for the UW. However, if you've ever waited for a referral, they tend to take weeks to even months. And I went in for a follow-up appointment, and I just said, you know, like, these things are happening. And she goes, we can't wait any longer. And she was able to call and get me an immediate appointment. And I went in, and they did a biopsy of my tongue. And within 2 days, I went from thinking that I just had something odd to finding out that I had cancer. And it was very aggressive. In the span of 10 days from when I was initially diagnosed with cancer to I had surgery in 10 days. And in that 10 days, my tumor on my tongue had doubled in size.
Is this a common thing?
No, actually, it's not. I was very happy with the UW, and my doctor actually was like, I have never seen anything like this before. And I actually was contacted by the Center of Disease Control and asked if they could have all of my records and any removals to study, because they're like, we've never seen this type of cancer before.
You talk about aggressive. My goodness. And had you had to wait any longer, the outcome wouldn't have been as good.
Actually, no, it would not. I ended up having a third of my tongue removed, and I had 29 lymph nodes removed out of my neck. Going into it, they were not sure if I would be able to speak afterwards. The consensus was if the cancer had progressed past the midline of my tongue, they were going to remove my entire tongue, which obviously would mean that I would be mute. At that point, I had 5 children at home, and my children were young. My youngest was about 7, and I had to sit my kids down and be like, I'm very sick. I'm going to go in and have surgery, and I don't know if, like, we're going to be able to talk again. My oldest daughter had just enlisted in the Air Force, and it was basic training. She could not come home. We were granted special privileges to be able to call her so that we could tell her. However, you know, going into surgery, we weren't sure if I would be able to talk when I came out. So I actually called all of my family, and I left voicemails of saying, "Hi, this is Mom. I love you." So that if I couldn't talk again, they could hear them.
My goodness. I can't imagine that. And of course, in my business, that would really be serious. But, you know.
Well, in reality, I'm a teacher. Yeah. I went in not knowing if I would be able to work again. You know, you cannot be a mute teacher. And so when I woke up, I kind of was right, like, do I have a tongue? Like, I didn't know. And my husband was like, "Yes, you have part of your tongue left." Because in reality, I didn't know.
So when you realized that, then was it difficult to speak? Did you have to kind of learn to say different words, again and things
I
like that?
I did. And actually, people that meet me now wouldn't know that I've gone through all of that. However, like my family that has heard me talk before versus after, I speak differently now. However, people that just meet me now don't notice anything. I had a lisp for a very long time, and I had to relearn how to use what was left of my tongue to enunciate correctly. However, like for a preschool teacher and early ed, when you're teaching children letters and sounds, you have to be able to pronounce them correctly. So it was quite a bit of time before I felt confident enough to go back to teaching, because if I couldn't pronounce them correctly, I cannot teach phonetics.
Did you have to see a speech specialist then?
I did. I saw a speech pathologist, and as bizarre as this sounds, I saw a PT person that had to help me learn how to re-eat. Because I lost so much of my tongue, the movement is different. So I had to basically start all over. The other thing that was extremely bizarre is they took all of the saliva glands on one side. So anybody that knows me, I carry a drink everywhere, because once I talk for so long, I have to have a drink, or I can't talk anymore. So like I have bottles of water next to my bed, at my desk. I have one at my teaching station, so I can just have one wherever I am.
It's good to stay hydrated, but for you, is the matter of your mouth getting dry then?
It is. And then once it gets that dry, you know, like when you wake up and your mouth is almost like it's glued shut. Mm-hmm. Like for me, if I don't continue drinking, it's like that all the time.
So how long did it take you to get back to work and get back to teaching then?
Actually, longer than I had expected. Once they did the surgery, they thought that they were able to get it all through surgery. So I went in at 8 weeks. At that point, I was cleared to drive. My husband had returned back to work, and he was actually traveling at the time. So he was out of the state, and I went for what was supposed to be a very quick in and out checkup. Your surgery looks great. You're cleared to go about your way. And I got there and received the news that they were not able to get all of the cancer by surgery. And they just kind of sat me down and they're like, "We need to go on to the next step." And I'm like, "Okay, so what would that be?" And they're like, 35 rounds of radiation.
Oh, no.
And they're like, they obviously knew that I was there alone. And they're like, "Do you need to wait and discuss it with your husband and then call back to set up a plan?" I mean, like anybody that's met my husband would be like, "No." I just looked at him. I said, "No, I'm like, you need to do what you need to do." And I'm like, "So just tell me what to do." And so I did 7 weeks of daily radiation. That took me through the entire end of 2019.
So how did COVID affect it then?
Actually, for me, at that point, everybody was having a snit about wearing a mask. For me, because I was going through radiation and cancer, I was already wearing a mask. So I was fairly safe and I couldn't go anywhere. You know, like it wasn't like I was out in the public. I went to the hospital and I went home. So Monday through Friday, I have friends that love me. I have family that came. Somebody drove me back and forth to Madison 35 times. At that point, I was medicated to the point that I couldn't drive. So people, family members, community members, they would come and pick me up, drive me to the Carbone Clinic, make sure I got in, sit there and read a magazine until I got out, and then drive me back home. My last treatment was right before Christmas of 2019. Honestly, out of this whole thing, what is so ridiculous to me now, one of the things that I was so terribly afraid of was losing my hair. When I was a kid, I met a bald person and it scared me. So like, I was like, I am not going to be one of those people who lost my hair. And lo and behold, let me tell you, 35 rounds of radiation, your hair is going to fall out.
That'll do it.
I had hair up on the top of my head. However, everything from about where your glasses would sit, from the sides and the back down, fell out. I, however, was kind of in denial. I didn't look at the back of my head. I know, as ridiculous as that sounds. And finally, it got to the point where I had two preteen daughters, and they're like, oh, like, Mom, your hair is falling out. I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, no, really, your hair is falling out. And I would just kind of put it up in a ponytail and not look. And finally, I decided, okay, how bad can it be? And I turned around and I looked at the back of my head. And I remember clear as day, the whole back of my head was bald. And I had been living in denial, like hadn't looked at it. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. I look like a crazy person. And my best friend owns a hair salon. I called her and I said, look, I cannot walk around like this. I am like, please help me. And she goes, all right. She goes, come over tonight after work. And my husband drove me over after work, God bless him, and waited for me because I couldn't drive back home. And I didn't want to look like I was sick. I wanted to look like I had made a choice. And so we cried a little bit. She shaved off the little bit that hadn't fallen out yet. And we cut it in a style so that it looked like I had done it on purpose. Like if you've ever seen those shaved undercuts where the top is long and at least, oh, and I dyed it hot pink. I am like, I wanted to look like I had made a fashion choice. And then as my hair grew in, it actually came in white. And I was like, this is so bizarre. So I would go in and we shaved designs in the white when it grew back. So I had a lotus flower. I had some designs so that as it was growing in, I felt like I looked like a regular person. Honestly, that was one of the things that to this day, I am so thankful that I did, because it made me feel better in what was the worst time of my life.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little humor.
It did. Right? And you know what? Like my hair was like magenta pink and I had like a lotus flower on the back. And in all reality, it looked really good. I would never have done it on purpose. However, like it was really fun and it made me cheerful in what was a really awful part of life. You know, they say that a haircut can fix a lot of things. You know, they're not wrong.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're living proof of that. What does it mean to be an ambassador for grace?
So right now, obviously, one of the things is to get other people involved, to get people to support Grace's efforts. You know, they provide help in what is the worst time of your life. Like for me personally, they provided gas cards for people that needed to drive me back and forth. We were brought meals. One of our close family friends arranged a benefit for us to help us fundraise. It's very expensive, especially like we went from a dual income household to a single income in less than 10 days. And we had five children at home. We had five students. We needed like September, very expensive time of year. You need school supplies. Your kids need to be taken to and from school. We had people that would come and pick up our kids and bring them back home. You know, like their life was already so disrupted as it is that Grace helped keep as much normal as possible. They got picked up and taken to school. They got brought back home. We had people that would support them at their sporting events because I could not go. So for me, part of the reason I decided to be an ambassador was because I know how much that helped our family. And I want people that are like, oh my gosh, this has just happened to me. Where do I go? Like, there are resources here. There are people who will step up and help you. And I want people that are like, what can I do to help? Like, Grace always uses funds. They distribute those to families who are desperate at that point in their life. They need somebody that can be like, okay, I will make this easier for you.
Your type of cancer is unique. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about this and that, early detection, but certainly in your case, how long did you put off? You thought you had this cancer, so how long did you put that off?
It was probably about 2 months.
Okay.
And had I not been in the doctor being seen for something else and just have mentioned it offhand, it was not to the point where I would have made an appointment to get it looked at. Like, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I was already there. I was like, hey, by the way, this is kind of odd. However, it wasn't bad enough that I would have made an appointment to get it looked at.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So life is good. Now, what's your idea of a great day these days, Tara?
Well, I have a large extended family. My daughter that I mentioned that was in the Air Force has just recently gotten engaged. So we're in very early wedding stages plan. I just had the birth of my second granddaughter. Right now, I am soaking up all of the time with my family that wasn't guaranteed at that point.
Makes you more grateful sometimes,
doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for stepping up and being an ambassador, Tara.
Thank you so much for having me. I was happy to share and hopefully bring some attention and resources to Grace.
Absolutely. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And you're back to school, what, in a month and a half, like that?
Well, we're in the middle of our summer program right now. But then we are going to be back to school in September.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, too.
Thank you.
Tara Weitzel joining us in this first part of the morning show. Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Phil Nee, joined by Marge Benson, who is one of the Grace Ambassadors, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, representing this year. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, Marge.
You're welcome.
Good to have you in the studio with us. And tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Elmhurst, Illinois, April 26, 1954, but I'm more of a Wisconsinite than Illinois because I've been up here since I was 14 years old.
So a Wisconsinite. Have you lived in southwest Wisconsin then during that time for most
yep.
of it? And a Richland Center area resident, or where do you live?
Richland County now, but we lived in Livingston where I went to high school at Ira Grant. The best.
Iowa Grant, well, they're certainly in our listening area as well. As far as your cancer journey, kind of fill us in a little bit on, first of all, what type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
Breast cancer. August, for around the first part of August in 2022.
And then you...
had the surgery September 15th, 2022. And I never had no pain whatsoever.
Cancer-free since that time for last...
Yep.
How long again?
Be 2 years in September.
Wow. Good for you.
Well, it'd be my second mammogram, so we'll see.
Well, things continue to go well then.
Oh, yeah.
So in terms of encouraging other people to get checked, that's probably the biggest thing is early detection, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mine, when they done early detection, probably maybe the size of your pinky, if that. And you couldn't feel it when you do the self-exam.
Okay.
That's how small it was.
So you discovered it with a mammogram then?
Yep.
In other words. So you're here to say that those are pretty important.
Oh, yeah. And I have two sisters that had cancer, too.
So you do have a family history of it, then.
My mom died 12 years ago in September of pancreatic cancer. Then I think it was April after mom died, my sister Valerie Muller was diagnosed with breast cancer. But she's fine. To look at her, you can't tell she has it. Mm-hmm. And then now my sister Debbie's dealing with pancreatic cancer. But supposedly, knock on wood, they got it all. But we'll see.
Boy, some families are more hard hit than others. Your family is sure taking a blow from this, haven't they?
Yep.
Wow. So, but it makes you fight stronger. I know you were fighting for your sisters, you know, because at least one of them was an ambassador before, right?
Yeah, Valerie was.
Valerie was, right.
Well, they don't.
So you're going to get some family members out to support you then when you're out there at
Grace. We'll see.
Great. Well.
Well, Debbie, when she had her benefit, they sold out of everything.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that wasn't that long ago.
No.
I guess. So, well, we wish her the best as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, Marge, talk a little bit about Grace and what it means to you.
I don't know what I'd have done if it wasn't for them.
You know, it's a similar story for a lot of folks. They've helped a lot of people and taken away a lot of the worries and everything.
And I don't even remember how I found out about it. Could have been from my friend Robin.
Okay. It means a lot to a lot of people, you know, with gas cards and those kind of things.
And they helped me with my rent, gave me gas cards and cards to get groceries with. It helped me a lot.
A lifesaver, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
From that point on, you probably vowed that you're going to give back to Grace if you can then, too, aren't you?
Yep.
What does it mean to be an ambassador?
I was shocked. Joanne nominated me. And I'll probably... cross your fingers, raise $1,270 this year by selling calendars.
Oh, okay. Is there a significance to that number?
I wanted to beat my record from last year.
Oh, okay.
Which was 120. Yep.
That's really good. So you're selling the calendar raffle tickets then?
Yep. And remember when the pandemic was on?
Right.
I raised $820 then.
That was pretty impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. At that point... you didn't probably think that you'd ever need to use Grace.
Probably.
That was before.
I didn't even think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess one never knows when you might be the one affected.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is there a secret to selling that many tickets?
I keep my list from year to year.
You remember who you've called upon and who you've not?
Oh, yeah, I've got some family. Most of them are friends. The farthest one, no. Phil is to Arizona, and that's to my sister, Beth.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So she bought one, too, then?
She got two.
All right. Well, that's awesome. So as we're airing this, too, if people would like to buy a ticket, they can come see you, correct?
They might all be gone.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah, well.
We can find them some more, I bet.
Oh, yeah, we could.
So you're a Packers fan? I see you've got a Packers shirt on. All right.
Do I even dare mention my baseball team?
Well, you can if you want.
Chicago Cubs.
I was going to say, born in Illinois, so that never left you, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I don't like the Bears and I don't like the Bulls.
Just the Cubs.
Cubs and the Blackhawks.
Okay. Cubs and Packers, we'll let you off, you know.
Yeah.
50% right.
you guys would be lost if I wouldn't call you once in a while.
Yeah, you do. You've been one of our big supporters over the years. So we appreciate that. Do you know any of the other ambassadors?
No, I met Tara, but I don't know none of them.
Yeah, Tara is going to be one. In fact, you were in the Lone Rock Parade riding with us.
We were talking in the backseat.
So what's it going to be like at Grace when you do the lap? And have you thought about that?
I just hope and pray it's not really hot out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll hope for good weather.
I hope so.
That's for sure. So, you've been there for other folks over the years?
Oh, yeah, I've come with Babe Kraska. Yeah. I'm on her team.
So this year, it's going to be just a little bit different than you'll be out there leading that first lap and everything.
Yep.
So, and the fundraising, it's just amazing what this community does, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'd be lost if we didn't have it.
Unfortunately, there's a need. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say about your cancer journey or anything concerning Grace, Marge?
Not that I can think of. But watch me think of something after.
As you drive away.
No.
Certainly your family's been affected. You've been affected.
Yep.
As you continue to fight on.
Well, then I also lost my boyfriend 7 years ago, too, of throat cancer.
You did?
Yep.
Wow.
Actually, my dad in March, well, he didn't have cancer. 2 weeks after that, my boyfriend died of throat cancer.
You've been hard hit with some tough times.
Oh, yeah. But the hardest death I had to deal with was April 1st. And that was one of my best friends from my class in high school. And actually, Phil, I seen it on, and it was posted April 1st. And I had to look, because I almost thought it was an April Fool's joke. No, it was not.
Oh.
Yep. And his son lived out in Alaska. They kept him alive long enough for his son to fly home to say goodbye. And I mean, it hit me hard. I cried for a week.
When you look at what you've dealt with, I think having a positive attitude is certainly...
You gotta
find that, don't you?
Yep.
And look for the little things and live each day, right?
Definitely. And listen to you guys.
What did you do for an occupation during your working years?
Restaurant work. Well, my first actual job was work detasseling corn for Biddick's there in Livingston.
Okay.
And then I went to restaurant work.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
A lot of corn over in that area. So you had a lot of work to do there. So.
I'll never do it again.
But then restaurant work and then...
Yep. I used to work at Rumble Seats there in Spring Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, as a cook. And I loved it there. There was days on a Friday, I wished I could remember how many people were there. And the other person never showed up. And I was back there by myself and only one person left.
Kept you busy.
Oh, yeah, hopping. But it was fun work, though.
In the 4th of July Lone Rock Parade, there were a lot of people that knew you as you rode through.
Oh, yeah.
There. So you had a lot of fans.
Yep.
And hopefully they'll show up for Grace coming up on the 9th. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on here, Marge. We wish you luck. And again, thank you so much for stepping forward and being an ambassador, because I know that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Probably the hardest thing is talking on the radio with me.
No, it's not, because I told Joanne I'd love to. Piece of cake, I told her.
Well, maybe that's the easiest part of it then. So, great deal. Well, thank you for joining us here today.
Yep.
Marge Benson joining us. She's one of the ambassadors for this year's Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination Walk. Again, that's coming up on Friday night, August 9th.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-608-608. 475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home in Spring Green. Want to give your house a new look? Whether it's one room or a whole house, we can help. From the industry's best Carestan carpet to exceptional hardwood floors by Mirage, or even if it's vinyl plank, we have it. Want a new kitchen or bath? We can help with that too. Quality products and quality service from a company you can trust. Wirtz Floor and Home.
From WRCO, it is time now for a news update sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. Wherever you are, BL Signs can help you. From the forecast, 84 degrees for today's projected high and a 50% chance of scattered showers for today. Just over 0.2 inches of rain in some early morning showers today. It is 68 degrees.
BL Signs of Richland Center has grown significantly, helping other businesses grow. In the last decade, businesses of all sizes have trusted the team at BL Signs, from developing ideas to get started to creation, installation, and reliable service afterward. BL Signs' promise of projects done well, done on time, and done on budget comes with the experience and knowledge to turn your sign into one of your most important investments. Visit BL Signs of Richland Center online at blsignage.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here's what you need to know. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Targeson reports that early Thursday afternoon at approximately 2 o'clock, the sheriff's office received a report that a man cashed a fraudulent check at a financial institution in the city of Westby approximately 2 hours earlier. Then at approximately 12:45, a second check was cashed at a financial institution in the village of Coon Valley. Finally, the same person attempted to cash a third check at a financial institution in the village of Stoddard after it was learned the checks presented as issued by a business in Toma were forgeries and the third attempt was unsuccessful. The suspect of the forgeries was identified as Raymond Scott Scotty Regal, 59, of Fox Lake. After an intensive investigation, the sheriff's office has learned of several other similar incidents in other jurisdictions. During a statewide search, Regal was arrested Saturday morning at approximately 7:30 in Madison by the Madison Police Department. He was transported to the Dane County Jail before being transferred to the Vernon County Jail later in the day. Raymond Regal is currently being held in the Vernon County Jail awaiting a bail hearing in Vernon County Circuit Court. More arrests could be forthcoming. Regal and two other known suspects were used as pawns. More work is needed to identify the masterminds in all these incidents that appear related. The open and very active investigation into this elaborate multi-jurisdictional bank fraud and check cashing scheme continues. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office is actively working with the Westby Police Department, Sauk Prairie Police Department, Reedsburg, Lake Delton and Wisconsin Dells Police Departments, the Richland Center Police Department, and Madison Department. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley says Republicans need to listen to themselves as they criticize Vice President Kamala Harris and support former President Donald Trump. A number of Republicans are calling Harris a diversity hire. Crowley says he's excited to back Harris and that he hopes her entrance as a replacement for President Biden will invigorate Democrats to vote in November. A state committee is studying potential regulation for artificial intelligence in Wisconsin. Committee Chair State Senator Julian Bradley says he hopes the committee's work can help alleviate people's fears about AI. The goal is to ensure that AI is used in the right ways so that we're not harming consumers or protecting data. The committee will hold hearings around the state in order to establish guardrails for lawmakers to consider when drafting policy. A new study will examine ways to control Wisconsin's sandhill crane population. The big birds with the long bills and even longer legs are a familiar sight and sound across much of Wisconsin. And while city dwellers often delight in seeing sandhill families in parks and neighborhoods, they can be a real problem when they swoop down on farm fields by the dozens or hundreds. A 12-member study committee is scheduled to meet this Thursday at Horicon Marsh State Wildlife Area. Committee members include state lawmakers, farmers, and conservationists. They've been asked to come up with recommendations, including a possible hunting season. That's something opposed by the Baraboo-based International Crane Foundation. The Department of Natural Resources says an invasive bug has spread throughout the state. On Friday, the agency announced it had made a positive identification of emerald ash borer beetles in all of Wisconsin's 72 counties. The last county to get the bug was Burnett County in northwest Wisconsin. The beetle, which is expected to kill most of Wisconsin's ash trees, was first spotted in 2008 in Ozaukee County and spread mostly by people transporting infested firewood. News of a shipwreck being located in the state.
The Margaret A. Muir, a 130-foot, three-masted schooner built in 1872, was found under just 50 feet of Lake Michigan water off the coast of northeast Wisconsin. The ship was lost to a fierce gale in September of 1893 and sank only a few miles off the entrance to the Algoma Harbor. It went undetected for more than a century, despite hundreds of boats passing over it each fishing season. The Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association is now working to nominate the site for the National Register of Historic Places. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Things are coming along at the Lone Rock Bridge project on the South Bridge. Both concrete deck pours have been completed. Currently, work is being done on other areas and will continue to mid to late August. Work is planned to have all of the formwork removed by early September, and finishing and staining will continue throughout most of September. The grading crew has scheduled the week of August 5th to place the remaining base aggregate on Wisconsin 130 Long Island and the new Wisconsin 130-133 intersection. The concrete crew has also scheduled the week of August 5th for the Wisconsin 130 curb and gutter sections and bridge approach slab at the new Wisconsin 130-133 intersection. The asphalt crew has scheduled the week of August 12th to pave Wisconsin 130 Long Island. The south channel on the riverway will remain closed and the north channel will remain open. Pending river flows, an environmental crew is planning to be on site this week to survey and relocate mussels along the existing Wisconsin 130 bridges. After mussel relocation is completed, crews will start placing rock causeways in the river along the existing bridges for demolition access. A statue of groundbreaking civil rights leader Vel R. Phillips unveiled at the Capitol in Madison on Saturday. Her son, attorney Michael Phillips, said his mom was tough and a fighter. He also told the crowd gathered at the Capitol that between now and November, we have got some fighting to do, and that if Phillips were here, she would be right on that as well. Vel Phillips died in Milwaukee in 2018 at the age of 95.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
You can join WRCO them on Facebook. Get the latest news, sports, and more every day. Visit with our staff. Hear about community events. See awesomely funny Throwback Thursday stories. Get the latest news, weather, and sports. Participate in upcoming Facebook-only contests and more. Simply go to Facebook.com and search WRCO Radio or visit Facebook.com/WRCO AM/FM. It's just that easy to connect with us from Facebook.com and WRCO FM.
The high expected to be 84 today with a 50% chance of scattered showers. Maybe a thunderstorm today. Partly cloudy, patchy fog tonight and a low of 65. Mid to upper 80s on Tuesday with a slight chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Right now, the air is calm and the barometer is steady at 29.81. We've picked up just over 2/10 of an inch of rain this morning. And right now, as we look back at yesterday, which it was 81, we were at 72 at midnight. We've been as low as 68. Right now it is 69 degrees.
At A&W, it's always a good time for a float. Date night, you'll love a float. Celebrating, you'll love a float. Craving creamy vanilla soft serve and made fresh root beer in a frosty mug? You'll definitely love a float. Only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer. Always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look back at local baseball from yesterday, a Brewer victory, and officially inked now to his extension deal, Jordan Love. Some comments from Brian Gundekunst as well, coming up in sports.
All Cub Cadet mowers are on sale now at the Homesteader Store. Hi, this is Rick. The sale includes industry-leading Cub Cadet Ultima zero-turn mowers with both lap bar and steering wheel units. The sale includes the quality Enduro Series lawn and garden tractors. They are all on sale, so come and save $150 to $500. See the full line of Cub Cadet products at your mower headquarters, the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
The Sunday League home challenge baseball season came to a close for the Arena Aces with a 4-0 loss at Belleville yesterday. The host Raiders scored 2 runs in the first inning and 2 in the fifth to improve to 9-3. Arena had many chances to get on the scoreboard, however, they lacked clutch hits and stranded 12 base runners during the 9-inning contest. Nate Jennings was 2-for-4 to lead the way for the Aces. For the Belleville Raiders, Stephen Mello was the winning pitcher. Pitcher, and also Sam Urquhart was 2-for-4, including a fifth-inning two-run home run over the left field fence. Following the 4-0 win, Belleville will play at Verona on Sunday. Arena still has night league games, including a makeup in Cazenovia on Tuesday. Elsewhere in the West, Dodgeville edged Blanchardville 4-3, Pine Bluff Mount Horeb 2-0 over Hollandale, and Verona was an 11-1 winner over Schulzburg Benton. Pine Bluff Mount Horeb will play at Dodgeville and Belleville at Verona next week in the semifinals of the Western section. In the North yesterday, Ashton 11, Mazamani 8, Middleton 12-2 over Wanakee, Sauk Prairie 6, Wisconsin Dells 5, and Reedsburg edged Cross Plains 9-8. Next week, Reedsburg is at Sauk and Middleton at Ashton. The Simon Shark swim team concluded their season Saturday at the conference swim meet. Boscobel swam to a first-place finish, their fourth in as many years as they take the conference championship. For the Richland Center's Simon Sharks, they were led by Lauren Chambers, who earned gold in the backstroke and breaststroke, Connor Hying, who added 2 first-place finishes in the butterfly and breaststroke, the 9-10 girls relay consisting of Morgan Worthington, Claire Hying, Lauren Chambers, and Kaylin Burns show the same dominance they have shown all season by winning both the medley and freestyle relays. An additional first-place finish was earned by the 15- and 18-year-old boys' relay, made up of Connor Hying, Malachi Fretz, Braden Burns, and Lucian Hamlin. The Brewers were able to salvage the final game of a 3-game series against the Marlins Sunday, 6-2. Jake Bowers powered the offense with a home run and a triple. Jackson Churio also went deep. Jacob Junis got the pitching victory with 2 scoreless innings of work. Reliever Devin Williams returned from 4 months on the injured list to hold the Marlins scoreless in the 9th inning yesterday. Right-handed pitcher Colin Ray starts the first game of a home series against the Braves coming up tonight. Elsewhere in the National League, Atlanta was a 9-2 winner against the Mets, St. Louis 4, Washington 3, San Francisco 5-4 over Colorado, Pittsburgh 6, Arizona 5. In the American League, Toronto 7, Texas 3, Minnesota 5-0 over Detroit, Seattle beat the White Sox 6-3, Angels 8, Oakland 6, Yankees 8-2 over Boston. In interleague play, Tampa Bay 2-1 over Cincinnati, Cleveland 4, Philadelphia 3. The Cubs beat beat Kansas City 7-3, Baltimore 8, San Diego 6, the Dodgers 6-2 over Houston. The Packers finally signed quarterback Jordan Love to a four-year, $220 million deal. He had been sitting out training camp practices while the details were hammered out. GM Brian Gutekunst talked about this day finally coming for the Packers and for their star quarterback as he hits payday.
When you really get to know these guys is when you get them in your building, you get them in your process, and you get to see how they work and how they kind of endear themselves to their teammates, how important it is to them. And certainly since he's been here, he's checked all those boxes. And I think as we moved along and he progressed and we realized that, you know, he was going to be the next guy, and then seeing how he handled that this past year, becoming the guy, handling that pressure, coming out the other side of it.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we are talking to the GRACE ambassadors, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, and stepping forward to agree to be an ambassador this year, Jackie DeJager. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
So good to have you on today.
It's great to be here.
Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I was 19 when I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was going to college, going to work, and we just thought I was tired, but a little more going on.
Oh, man. So 19, yeah. And then you got that taken care of then,
yes,
at the time?
Yes, I did. I was told the possibility of having children would be more difficult, but I have three sons that are all healthy and happy.
You beat the odds then, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
So then, kind of take us through the rest of your cancer journey.
Well, I had 6 months of chemotherapy. It was aggressive treatments, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I stayed working, stayed going to college. I was going for cosmetology and aesthetics, and I graduated with honors.
Awesome.
At the end of it. So.
And now you grew up originally in this area.
Yes, mm-hmm. My whole life. Mm-hmm. My dad, Jack Shear, I was living with him and my mom, Sue Shear, when I went to college and going through my treatments. They were phenomenal.
I remember when you used to win trivia from us once in a while back.
Yes. I still love Saturday nights.
Thank you.
On WRCO.
Thank you. Yeah, it seems like only yesterday that you'd win once in a while.
So. Yeah.
Good deal. So then your family's all doing well and everything?
We're hanging in there.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Weather's been great, and we're getting through our health issues as best as we can.
There's always some hurdles, it seems, as you jump through the hoops and things like that. Are you currently on a cancer journey then, right now?
No. Because it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, it is considered curable. So after 5 years of being in remission and doing my CT scans, now all I need to make sure I don't get the Hodgkin's back is a blood test once a year.
Okay.
But while I was going through the 5 years, there was no insurance for me or anything. So all of that was out of pocket for the CT scans. And I wish Walk with Grace would have been there when I was going through my journey.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What a relief it is for families now.
It is.
Kind of thing. And I think that's why you've kind of stepped forward to kind
yes.
of tell your story. Then.
It is a wonderful organization. It helps so many that are on this journey. And it's not cheap. Travel, insurance, everything's costing more. And everything helps.
Yes, it does. So do you know any of the other ambassadors, or have you known ambassadors through the years, Jackie?
I have, yes. One that is currently Tara. I work with her at Schmidtwin Hills. She does the play school there.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So you've got two people that work there that are ambassadors this year.
Yes.
I did not realize that. That's awesome. So in terms of your journey and that kind of thing, then you're just kind of looking forward and counting your blessings. Then.
Yes, I am. It's been 23 years this October 12th since my last treatment.
My goodness. So you've got the butterfly, or you will have on Friday night that says
yes.
23 on it.
Yes, I will.
So that's awesome. At 19, I mean, you must have been, you know, scared and confused as anybody would, but it's certainly at that age.
Very scared. When I first got the diagnosis, it was shock. But I had a wonderful oncologist, Dr. Thomas McFarland, and he said, just keep a normal schedule as possible. You know, don't stop to think. Just do.
Isn't it, a lot of times it's a positive attitude that gets you through, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And my sister Grace Shear, she's been a big supporter of me too, on getting me to appointments and taking care of my kids while I journey through more appointments.
Mm-hmm. So you still have to go to those from time to time then.
Oh, yes. Yep. Uh-huh. Blood tests, they're doing more biopsy now to check for other issues I've been having, but...
Okay. But the cancer is in the rearview mirror.
Yes, it is.
I can't imagine, again, at 19, your whole life's ahead of you, and then you really took a downturn.
Like I said, it was shocking to hear at first, but I worked through it, and I did the best I could.
And great support from the family.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They have been absolutely amazing. My dad, of course, has passed away since, but no, he wouldn't even show up to my high school graduation, but my college graduation, after everything he showed up to, and he was just very proud of everything we accomplished together.
Yeah, you really had to overcome a lot to get through that then.
Yes, yes.
Right. So this, as you look at Grace and things like that, what's it going to feel like to be there and you know, take that first lap and everything?
Just the pride of everyone being together, fighting it together, and not giving up.
Yeah, really, the nice thing about a small town is, you know, everybody kind of, you know, they feel for you. They're very supportive, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah. I've had plenty of bosses and employers that were also very supportive of when I was going through my treatments. I was working at Bernstead's Pick and Save.
The good old days.
Yes. They were very understanding of all my appointments and accommodating for my needs at work.
Very important. And your current employer is, again?
Schmidtland Hills.
Schmidtland Hills, okay.
Yes.
You work there. Nice place to work, I'm guessing.
Oh, great place to work. I am housekeeping.
Uh-huh.
I do laundry 8 days a month right now until I can get back up to hopefully full-time. But I love what I do, and the people I work with are amazing.
When you kind of kicked your cancer, so to speak, did you feel that energy come back where you felt a little bit stronger every day then and everything?
Yes, I did. As the treatments went on, I just started to feel overall better. I wasn't always sleeping. I could eat again. The treatments themselves could be a little rough at times, but again, I just, the more I went to them, the better I started feeling.
So, in other words, you must have caught it early then as well?
Well, I was advanced stage 3 out of 4 stages.
Okay.
So it had started attacking specifically my spleen, which there is still scarring on. But we caught it in time before it hit my bone marrow.
So that was certainly key. Do you have advice for somebody that might be going through that kind of thing?
Keep a positive attitude. That's all you can really do with it. Don't let it get you down. You know, your hair falls out. I was in school for cosmetology, and we wanted to play a prank on the first years that are coming into our second year by running out and look what they did to me when I was bald. And my cousin Jason gave me the moniker Fester.
Uncle Fester.
Yes. So I actually did wind up going to the Halloween contest that year. I had just went into remission and I was Uncle Fester.
Wow.
For Halloween.
You got to laugh sometimes at things,
yes,
don't you?
And, yes.
Yeah.
It's easier than crying through it.
Yes, it is.
So, not to say you're not going to cry, because
yeah, a little
it's
bit.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
But make sure to laugh too.
So did you actually pull the prank then when people really believed you that somebody...
No, the instructor said not to do that them. So
you don't want to give them a heart attack.
Right.
That's awesome. So do you have a team this year for Grace?
I know I don't. I believe my Uncle Bob does, the American Red Cross.
Okay.
That he is in charge of here in Richland Center. He does a beautiful job with my Aunt Heidi. But for me, with other things going on, I was not able to join a team, but am very happy to be an ambassador this year.
Uncle Bob nominated you, I think, right?
Yes, he did.
Great. Well, it's awesome to have you. Anything else that you'd like to add today in terms of this upcoming ambassador appearance for you?
No, I'm just very, very excited to go and see everyone again.
Great. Well, it'll be nice to see you. That's on August 9th, and the opening ceremony is at 6 o'clock, and Jackie DeJager will be there, along with Marge Benson and Tara Weitzel. There will be our main three ambassadors this year, and they'll be leading that first lap. So, Jackie, thanks so much for coming in and joining us today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yes.
We'll be back with more on The Morning Show coming up. Welcome back to our morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Phil Nee, and today is our show dedicated to GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. We've heard from ambassadors who will be highlighted and showcased coming up. And now joining us is the chair of the upcoming Walk with GRACE, June Nee. June, 2 weeks away from today. How can that be?
Good morning, Phil. I can't believe it. We are getting so close. Getting really busy right now, just making sure we've crossed our T's and dotted our I's, and we're excited. I think the walk is going to be a really good one again this year.
Definitely it is. We're here to remind people of a few notes to mark on the calendar. And first of all, T-shirt day. Is that coming up?
Yes, it is. T-shirt pickup day is Tuesday, July 30th, and that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. up at the Grace office. So Marsha Burkhammer and her team will be up there to hand out your T-shirts that you've ordered for your team. So come on up anytime during those hours. If you cannot make it during those hours, please let us know, and we'll try to accommodate you at a different time.
Do they typically have extras there or at that time?
We will have some extras to sell at the walk. I'm not sure Marsha will have them ready at that time on that day, but she will mainly be focused on getting the teams their T-shirts to them.
So Walk with GRACE 2 weeks from today, and is it pretty much business as usual like it usually is?
Yes, yes, it will be. We're going to start out on Wednesday, August 7th. With the Captain's Night and Survivors reception. That's going to be at the Phoenix Center. The doors will open around 5, and we will be starting a free will offering pizza dinner available at 5:30. So come on in and join us. We're going to have a program that's going to start at 6 o'clock, and we're going to hear from the Gunderson Hospital and UW-Carbone. We should have some speakers from both hospitals and from their research team. And then we will have sign up for any survivors that come that night. You're able to sign up that night, get registered. And then at the walk, we will have gifts for you. And you can also register at the walk as well. But yeah, so I hope everyone will come out and join us. It's going to be a great night for the survivors reception with listening to the doctors talk about their research programs and how GRACE funding helps.
I think it's really impressive every year, and I think important for us to hear what they have to say, where some of the dollars are going to, and they're certainly making some advances, it seems, aren't they?
Yes. I think it's very important, and I really encourage people that if you really want to know where our money goes, other than patients in our area, and to these two research hospitals, these doctors do a really good job of explaining what they're working on and in layman terms so that we all can understand. And it's very interesting.
The night of the captain's survivor night, that's an important time to bring in money raised, if you can, for your teams then as well?
Yes. Teams are encouraged to bring in their packets. So all the money they've raised, their raffle tickets and their luminaries. And if you want your luminaries to be available on the video that we will be recording on Wednesday morning and Thursday morning for Nova Video is going to do that for us. Then you need to turn in your luminaries that night. And also, to be able to have the money count towards your team total, you need to have your packets and all the money that you've brought in so far turned in that night.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, June.
Thank you.
June Nee joining us, the chairperson of this year's Walk with Grace, as the morning show continues with a little more info coming up.
Consignment clothing for the whole family and much more. It is 69 degrees. Good morning on a Monday. It is 7 o'clock.
Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with G.